Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Tuesday, the day we study the Bible together and try to understand what it's saying to us today. Right now we're in our series Pioneer Story, where we're studying the book of Acts to try to understand how the very first followers of Jesus organized themselves, communicated their message, and became known as what we call the church today. Right now, this week, we're in Pioneers and Philosophers. We're seeing the story of how one of the first Christian communicators, Paul, met up with some philosophers in the city of Athens and how they misinterpreted what he was saying and nearly missed their chance to hear the good news about Jesus Christ as a result. Here's how that story went when Paul arrived in Athens, a very different kind of city than he was used to preaching in, because up to then he'd mostly been communicating first with Jews when he arrived in a city. And this time he did that, but quickly moved on to the marketplace. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Well, Paul's got a real pattern as he visits a new town to proclaim the good news of Jesus there, where he starts off in the synagogue, where he knows he can find some Jews who have all the backstory that he felt was necessary to learn about Christianity. It's sort of the easiest way. They had already believed that there was one God, not many gods with many idols. They had already know some of the backstories about God having rescued the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and so on, that really kind of set the stage for Jesus. A lot of his pre-work was already done when he would just go to a synagogue and tell them about Jesus. They were expecting a Messiah. All Paul really needed to do was tell them Jesus was the Messiah and make the case for that, which wasn't always easy to prove, of course. But now he started branching out a little bit. We find him today going to the synagogue and to the marketplace. We found him in that kind of place before. He healed somebody recently in a public square like that. But he's now making a habit of it, it would seem. He goes to the marketplace, and while he's talking about Jesus and the resurrection, some philosophers, Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, overhear him. And the funny thing is that they end up laughing at him. They end up calling him a babbler, and they say, "What is this guy going on about? He seems to be proclaiming or preaching foreign gods, foreign divinities." And they get all confused, and they are ready to dismiss him as naive, unintellectual, just some kind of ridiculous guy from somewhere else proclaiming foreign gods. And we might wonder where they got that from. We're so used to, the idea of Jesus being a leader of a world religion and all this, that we tend to forget that the original people talking about Jesus in this way were kind of outsiders. They were saying things that people had never heard before, and that definitely didn't really fit in the box of what people were expecting to hear from a Jew in the first place, or from a philosopher. This didn't fit either. And so they got all confused and thought maybe he was preaching about foreign gods. Now, why would they think this? Well, first of all, they're Greek philosophers, so they already live in a world with lots of idols, lots of little statues and things to worship for many different gods. They came from a world with all these Greek gods. Now, with the Romans in charge, there were Roman gods too. They knew other pagan societies with other gods. And so that was just kind of the paradigm they lived in. They just lived in a world with many, many gods, and it kind of sounded to them like Paul was looking to add some other new foreign gods to their pantheon, to their list of gods. But wait a minute. If he was preaching about Jesus, why would they say he seemed to be preaching about foreign gods, plural? That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But I think Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, gives us a bit of a clue as to why they got so confused. He says that they were confused and they thought he was a babbler because he was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. In Greek, which the book of Acts was originally written in, and which Paul was probably speaking in since he was speaking to philosophers and they understood him, in that language he would have been preaching about Jesus, Jesus, and the resurrection, anastasis. It's quite possible, We don't know this, but it sounds like it's quite possible these philosophers thought Jesus was preaching about a new god and a new goddess, Jesus and Anastasia. We don't really know. It's possible they were also just confused because he was talking about this sort of strange twist on Judaism, and they thought he was proclaiming foreign gods, or maybe they thought he was preaching about Jesus and this was a foreign god. Hard to say. But I kind of like the interpretation that says he was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection, Anastasis, and they misinterpreted thinking this was a god and a goddess pairing, like they were kind of used to. It seems like Paul has gone to a new place, the marketplace in Athens, the hotbed of Greek philosophy, and unfortunately he's just kind of continued to use the same words and concepts he's normally used, and it leaves people confused because he's chosen the wrong words to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Thankfully, thank goodness, he actually gets a second chance. These philosophers say they're willing to hear him out again, and in an even more important place. They drag him off to the Areopagus, a great public square like this. It's also known as Mars Hill, a place where there was a council that would normally sit and hear trials, but also just an opportunity to speak with a lot of the intellectual elites around to hear what Paul had to say. So these philosophers drag him back there to hear him again and to make sure that some of the most important people in their city are exposed to what he has to say. Clearly there was something intriguing about what Paul had to say, that they were willing to get over the mistaken identity of thinking he was proclaiming a god and a goddess named Jesus and Anastasis. So Paul goes there and he's got his opportunity to speak. And clearly Luke still has a bit of a sense of humor because he wants us to really know that the people in this square, these intellectual elites of Athens, these philosophers, are really just full of hot air. He says they like to throw ideas around and bat them around and debate them, and that's really all they do. It sounds like Luke is trying to say, you know what, they never actually do anything. They never actually land on anything or decide anything. These are just people that like to argue. But now they're about to be exposed to the ultimate source of truth in this universe, Jesus Christ. And that could change everything. We'll see tomorrow what Paul had to say and how people responded. But in the meantime, I've got a question for you to think about and discuss with your small group. And if you haven't got a small group yet, I'd really encourage you to start one. It's the best way to take advantage of these teachings, to take them away and discuss them with others who are learning to follow Jesus too, or just considering what that might mean. Here's your question. Why do you think they gave Paul a second chance to speak? What might have been so intriguing despite the miscommunication that almost got in their way? Well, have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.